A fast-heating planet means humanity's going to have to transition a whole lot faster away from fossil fuels. In the home stretch of the COP26 climate summit, delegates in Glasgow trying to make that energy transition stick and stick as soon as possible. Governments are asking themselves, what energy mix for a climate emergency? Enter, if you will, the president of France, who in his Tuesday address to the nation trumpeted plans for the first construction in decades of new nuclear power plants. Why is Emmanuel Macron, who's up, by the way, for re-election in the spring, going full throttle on atomic energy? Can nuclear power really save the planet? Is it as green as it seems? Environmentalists denounce the undue costs, the high risk. All it takes is one accident, after all, and point to delays and cost overruns of current next-generation reactor projects in places like France, the UK, and Finland. So, if it's nuclear again, how to segue away from fossil fuels as soon as possible? Last week, the U.S. passed an infrastructure bill that includes charging stations for electric cars across America, those cars already being sold to market. So how to power the planet when the future is now? Today in the France 24 debate, we're asking about the nuclear option. And joining us, Jean-Pierre Pervez, board member of the Association for the Defense of Nuclear Heritage and Climate, PNC France.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Also with us from Glasgow, Rana Adib, executive director of the Renewable Energy Policy Network for the 21st Century. Your remit squarely looking at energy mixes. Thanks for being with us.
Hello.
From Luxembourg, Roger Spouts, campaigner for Greenpeace France and Luxembourg. Welcome to the show.
Good evening.
And we welcome back Nicolas Mélan, senior advisor at EVvolumes.com, EV as in electrical vehicles.
Exactly. Good evening, François.
Nice to see you. The France 24 debate on Facebook and Twitter, hashtag F24debate. When he was elected in 2017, Emmanuel Macron made good on his predecessor's promise to close France's oldest nuclear power plant. That's at Fessenheim, near the German border. Now, with energy prices soaring, Tuesday's primetime address included a big, well, you could call it a pre-campaign promise.
In order to guarantee France's energy independence, to ensure our country's electricity supply, and to achieve our objectives, in particular carbon neutrality, in 2050, we will, for the first time in decades, relaunch the construction of nuclear reactors in our country and continue to develop renewable energies.
Jean-Pierre Pervez, a month ago, Emmanuel Macron talked up, he made a speech on climate where he talked up green hydrogen and the so-called mini nuclear reactors.
Yes.
He wasn't talking about mini nuclear reactors here, was he?
No, it was the big one.
So what's changed in a month?
I think it's not a surprise for us, because for 10 years we were persuaded that that's the only way to go in France, but not only in France. And for that we have, I think, three very good reasons. The first is that there is an agreement to say that at the mid-century and end of the century, electricity will be the main vector to carry electricity to our economy and our population. Atomic Energy Agency thinks that it will represent 80% of energy at the end of the century, which is huge, which is four times what it is today. The second good reason to do that is if you want to rely on really a huge quantity of electricity, you need to have a reliable and something you can manage, something you need a pilot in the plane. And nuclear can do it, and it's much more difficult to do that with intermittent renewable energy. The third reason is probably more surprising for you, but it is a clean energy. I just want to remember that if today in Europe tens of thousands of people die early because of pollution of coal and oil, essentially. So I think to go toward nuclear energy as well as renewable is certainly a good way for the future.
Roger Spouts, are you convinced?
No, I'm not convinced that nuclear is the future. Renewables and energy savings are the future. For us, clearly, nuclear energy, nuclear industry, it's on the one hand, it's too risky. So an accident like it happened in Fukushima is always possible in France, in Europe, or in Asia or America. Nuclear energy is dirty. It produces radioactive waste, which has to be stored for thousands of years. For the moment, there is still no definite place there where we know how to store the high-level waste for such a long time, even if there are some projects. Or in France, CGO is under construction, but we don't have, worldwide, we have no definite solution how to treat the waste and to store it. And also, we have also in the production of nuclear electricity, you have continuously radioactive discharges. A third point that I want to mention is that to make a valuable contribution to save the climate, nuclear energy is too slow. When you look at the EPR, which is under construction in Flamanville in France, the construction started in 2007. The industry said it would be ready within 5 years to produce electricity. Now we are 2021, so 14 years later, and it doesn't still function. There are still problems, and we don't know whether the EPR will be producing electricity next year or in two or in three years. And then the last point I want to mention is for us, clearly also nuclear industry, nuclear reactors are too expensive. When you look at the costs for how the costs went up, for example, for the construction of DPR in Finland, the same for the EPR in France, in Flamanville, the initial costs in 2005 when it was announced.
Let me ask Jean-Pierre Pervez about this, because France is it's the only EPR, which is the next generation reactor. As was rightly mentioned by Roger Spouts, it was due to come online in 2012. It's 9 years later. Yeah. We're looking maybe at the end of next year. The original cost was supposed to be 3.3 billion euros. Now it's closer to 17 at Flamanville, which is on the English Channel. So it hasn't proven itself. And when Emmanuel Macron is speaking, he's talking about EPRs, isn't he?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes, he is, certainly. I think, first, it's quite difficult to start again nuclear energy, a new concept, when you have been stopped for 20 years. So we have to recover for this long non-decision period. The second point is that even if a prototype is very expensive, we all knew that when you build 5, 6, 10, 50 of them, what we did in the 80s, we are, at some moment, we were starting 6 reactors every year. We can do it. It can be done with a good price. And that we have to remember. And the really last point on all of that is that you also have to remember that in the last 10 years, France has spent something like nearly now 200 billions of euro to finance renewable. So when you want to start something, you have to spend money.
All right, so you agree with that, Rana Adib? You need to have a little bit of patience that the technology is improving?
Yeah, I think the technology is improving, but a very strong message with regard to this is the technology is already there. The International Energy Agency has assessed that 50% of the necessary carbon reductions can be reached with existing technologies. And here we are speaking about, obviously, energy saving, energy efficiency, renewable energy are a big part of it. I think where we are clearly in agreement is, and I think there is a general agreement, the technology is there, and the cost reductions is also there. And I think this is ultimately when we are speaking about the solutions which are there, we are operating in markets. And in the market, the cost and the price is basically fundamental. I think one thing to underline here is as an example, onshore wind globally is 5 times cheaper than nuclear power. Today, we have over 80% of the new power-producing capacities that is based on renewable energy. And why? Because it is the least cost option today. Now, one thing to underline is we are speaking about cost here, but the reality is also we need to speak about prices. And renewable energy solutions are competing with fossil fuel-based solutions that are highly subsidized with taxpayer money in 115 countries. And I think when we are talking about what needs to happen, yes, technology innovation will bring us there, but ultimately it is about policy innovation and policy attention. Today,
what about,
when we're looking
about,
at
what
the
about
overall
competing,
global energy mix...
What about competing with the cost of nuclear power?
This is what I said. Globally, we are in a situation that that the cost for onshore wind, as an example, is 5 times cheaper than the nuclear costs when we're comparing the megawatt hour produced, so the energy cost produced. So I think it's really it's a question of markets, and it's also a question of how the markets are being designed. And I would like to bring another aspect also into the discussion. The reality is we need to, when you're looking into the IEA net zero scenario, for instance. Today, electricity represents 20% more or less as covering of the overall energy demand. Over 80% is used for transport and heating and cooling. When we're looking at 2050, we will move from a share of electricity of 20% to 50%, so really with a big trend on electrification. And this means massive production of generation capacities, installation of generation capacities. And here, basically, the reality is when we're looking to planning and operation, a nuclear plant is about 15 years. When we're looking at utility scale renewable power plants, whether it is solar, PV or wind, we're rather around 2 to 5 years. And when we're looking into rooftop solar, just as an example, we're at 6 months. And I think that's really something to take into account, in particular in countries where nuclear is, for security reasons, for governance reasons, for infrastructure reasons, not an option.
Your thoughts on this, Nicolas Mélan?
Well, my thought on this is that I was surprised by the decision from Emmanuel Macron, because he obviously closed the plant Fessenheim, which he had not promised to close. It was François Hollande before who promised
his
this
predecessor.
Exactly, to get the support from the Greens and to get elected. So we basically lost 10 years. Right, because 2012, we say we need to close Fessenheim, we need to reduce nuclear.
But hang on, that nuclear plant was the oldest one in France. It needed to be decommissioned at some point.
Well, it's not only about the age, it's about how it works. And maybe there were some other plants which, you know, it's not only the... There is the association, the ASN, said it was working properly and that there was no need to decommission it. So we just lost 10 years. And when I look at the situation now, where we have issue with the gas price, the gas to Europe might be cut in the coming days, either by Mr. Putin or Mr. Lutsenko. We have issue with coal. We have issue with electricity. And we've closed nuclear. So at least maybe we should keep it a bit as a transition energy. But today, One thing that not many people know, over the last 40 years, the share of fossil fuels in electricity generation is stable. The share of coal is stable. It's 40%. What we did is a transition from nuclear to renewables. No carbon energy to no carbon energy. Not a single gram of CO2.
Hang on. You call it no carbon energy. Is it no carbon energy in the sense
nuclear?
That, yes...
Decarbonized energy, yeah. Electricity, yeah.
You got to get the uranium out of the soil. You have to make turn into yellow cake. You have to build these huge nuclear plants with lots of cement.
But so, you're aware that the solar panels in France are built with coal in China, right? And they're not flying to France, right? So we have a same footprint for this power. It's the same for renewable, for wind turbines. It's the engine is made in China. There is some metals in it, you know. There is some neodymium. You have to extract it, and it's very dirty as well. You have to take everything into account for each and every energy. But I agree. I think what is most important is that the energy of the future is the one that you will not consume. And the problem is that the debate is always about, do we do wind turbine, solar panel? Do we do something else? No, the first thing we need to do is save on energy, reduce our energy consumption, and then we'll have much more margin to increase the share of renewables, because if we divide the energy by two, then we multiply by two the share of renewables. That's the easiest way to do it. And we have not started yet. And I'm not hearing anything from Glasgow about saving energy and reducing our consumption.
All right, we'll go back to Glasgow in a minute, but first, just one final word on this issue of what happens now when we look ahead. And we talked at the outset about this concept of mini nuclear reactors. In England, this past week, Britain announcing it was thinking small on nuclear projects, not like the one at Hinkley Point run by ODF. That too is an EPR, and it's running a little bit over time as well. It's now slated for 2026. But mini reactors, such as the one that Rolls-Royce says, can be ready in the next decade.
This is something that we can do today, to start making an impact today, to create green jobs today, that we know will deliver zero carbon electricity. And we know that there's a huge demand for zero carbon electricity with all the different technologies that are being touted at COP at the moment, hydrogen, synthetic fuels, and so on.
The argument there from Rolls-Royce, Jean-Pierre Pervez, is we can have these done pretty fast. They'll be smaller, and it's a more malleable kind of system. Why go for, again, these huge infrastructure projects that some even call white elephants?
I think you have to realize that the market is multiple. When you have a quite small country, but with a high density, with a lot of electricity, like France, we have a huge grid. And to add electricity, to put a big machine, is quite easy. All around is ready for that. And you have a very nice management of that. When you think with small reactors, it's probably a different market. It's a market for country which have a small grid. You cannot last one production if you have a small grid. You need 6, 7, 10 of them. So you make small reactor eventually. You can also use them for industry, for heat. So I think it's a quite different market. That's the reason why Macron has decided for both ways. I want to add something. When speaking of cost, you know probably that the society which manage our grid in France, RTE, has just studied scenarios.
I won't interrupt you. We're going to talk about the cost.
Okay,
we have to take a very quick break. Stay with us. You're watching the France 24 debate. Welcome back, or welcome if you're just joining us. It's the France 24 debate as we head into the home stretch at the COP26 Climate Summit. We're talking about what the energy mix is going to look like in a few years' time here in Europe and throughout the world. With us, Jean-Pierre Pervez, board member of the Association of the Defense of Nuclear Heritage and Climate, PNC France. Also in our company, Rana Adib, who joins us from the COP26 Summit, Executive Director of the Renewable Energy Policy Network for the 21st Century. From Luxembourg, Roger Spoutz, campaigner for Greenpeace France and Luxembourg, and Nicolas Mélan, Senior Advisor at EVvolumes.com. We were talking again about this concept, Roger Spoutz, before the break of costs. It's the question of how much energy you can supply and how much it costs, as that demand for electricity is going to soar in the coming years. What do you say?
Yes, it's a question about costs, but it's also a question about where do you invest your money. I think every euro can only be invested once. Either you invest it into energy saving matters, you invest it into renewables, which are much cheaper than nuclear, or you invest it in the nuclear, in construction of nuclear power plants or nuclear reactors, which is more where you need more money. So every euro that goes into the development of nuclear or construction of nuclear industry is a wrong investment. We should first invest in energy-saving measures and then renewables.
All right, and then there's the question of what are some of the other motives right now for this push? And while they carbon trade at the climate summit in Glasgow, the European Union is horse trading, it seems, over what to tax as clean energy or dirty energy. France has been lobbying hard for nuclear to be billed as green. Here you see a tweet from the French ambassador to the Czech Republic, where he says, we're gearing up because France is going to hold the EU presidency in 2022 along with the Czechs, like-minded on nuclear energy and gas to be included in the upcoming delegated act on taxonomy. Nicolas Mélan, should nuclear be taxed as green?
Well, obviously, if nuclear is expensive, so you have a lot of capital investment and you need to finance this. Obviously, Germany has a cultural against nuclear because they spent, after the Second World War, 40 years being afraid to get a nuclear bomb on their head. And that's why.
But the accusation of the Germans and others is that there's an unholy alliance right now between France and some of the central European countries. We'll say that natural gas is a good transition energy. In exchange, you back us on nuclear.
I understand this, but where do we get the natural gas today? Not many people know, but in March or April, we were the first country in the world in France to import shale gas that we forbid in France extraction to import from the US. So what is the transition to move to shale gas? This is what we propose. Is the transition to move to the gas? We keep complaining about our dependence on Russia, which is 35% on natural gas in Europe. We have the stock at storage at very low level now, and the next coming weeks are going to be funny with Mr. Putin and Mr. Lutsenko. So I think most of the European players are going to come out with the fact that they will have anyway to include nuclear. And on the gas side today, all our providers in Europe, the production is stagnating, is not increasing. What people forget is the fact that energy is going to be more scarce in the future. And there will be no more discussion about nuclear, renewable. We will need everything.
Rana Adib, would you tax nuclear as a green energy or not?
I would definitely tax natural gas as fossil fuel. And just to remind this before the audience, fossil fuel is responsible for 75% of the carbon emission. So just as a comment on the natural gas as transition fuel, and also the fact that if we are investing basically in such infrastructure, because this would be required if we also want globally to address basically the rising energy demand, this will clearly lead to stranded assets. And stranded assets mean that governments need to step in and ultimately the taxpayer need to step in to basically bail out infrastructure that has been done. And that's clearly something we want to avoid. When it comes to nuclear, and I think here we need to really have a distinction between, are we speaking about nuclear in place? And in this case, obviously, for CO2 emissions reasons, these are not the capacities you should phase out first. But when we are talking about, looking into new plants, I think it's really important, and I think it was mentioned before, any technology does have environmental and social impacts. And here we really need to have a sustainability assessment, which actually goes beyond carbon emissions. And let's be really honest, the changes, the transformations that will need to happen are happening at the energy system, but these are also transformations of the economic system and society. And it means that we need to create societal support and citizen support. And in general, we clearly see that the sustainability discussions differs quite a bit from a country to another, and this also depends to some extent on what the tradition is, what the norm is, but also what industry players and industry power dynamics are in place in the country. So in Europe, yes, there is a lot of push from France to include basically nuclear as a green energy. From Renton's side, it is very clear that the only renewable energies we see are the ones avoided, and then indeed renewable energy and not nuclear. And maybe just a last word, the International Energy Agency looks at, today we have a share globally of 10% of nuclear in the electricity mix. The International Energy Agency also assesses that the share of nuclear in the electricity mix in 2050 will be of 10%. So I think there is also a strong message here.
Your thoughts on that, Jean-Pierre Pervez?
I think there is a big mistake. You always speak of green. The problem is sustainable energy. And so I think nuclear is definitely on the way of sustainable energy. And I am quite afraid because there is a fire in the house. It's my point of view. I am not Greta Thunberg, but I can tell it. At the same time, I have the feeling I am in the courtyard of a school with a young boy fighting together. We need renewable, we need nuclear, we need to save energy, we need all that together. And it's quite stupid to have this fight. If a country like France decide with good reason that it will need nuclear energy, because we are a cold country where solar is not that good in winter, because wind is not always there, because storage of electricity is still not there, and we don't know when it will be there. So there is no hesitation. We have to do all. And I think all this kind of dispute has no real value.
All right. Speaking of schoolyard disputes, on Wednesday, the U.S. and China, this is good news, putting aside superpower rivalries to announce a joint carbon-cutting pledge. Doesn't go far enough, say environmentalists. Still, the two nations, rivals, but also partners in manufacturing, and that includes key technologies such as Nicolas Melon making batteries for electric vehicles. Because after all, we heard at the outset Jean-Pierre here mentioning how there's going to be an increase of electricity use. A lot of that's going to be for transport.
Yeah, exactly. And today the battery for electric vehicles are made out of coal, like the solar panel in China. So this is definitely a transition that we need to. And I think they've been talking a lot about transport and at the Right Commission. Talking about China and the US, I'll be honest, I think it's a joke. It's really a joke. These are the first two emitters. I just read last week, China extracted the most coal of all its history, 12 million tons in a single day. It's a joke. And by the way, China is building 150 nuclear power plants. On top, of course, of the renewable, they are doing everything because now they have a problem. They have an energy crunch problem. And this is where we are all heading to, energy crunch. And this is why we need everything now and fast and stop fighting.
Stop fighting. One of the issues, again, is batteries. Who controls that market? How dirty is that technology?
Yeah, today, as I mentioned, the problem with batteries, we were mostly dependent on oil, which is in the head of OPEC countries. And now 35% of the oil demand globally. And now it's going to be China. Why? Because we moved all our refining capacity to China. And all the cobalt, which is in the battery, is extracting not in China, in Congo, but in mines that belongs, most of them, to China. And then it goes to China to be refined. And China has 80% of the refining capacity in the world. And so we're moving to a transition where we will put all our eggs in China's hand. I think it's a bit...
What's France doing about this? What's Europe doing about it?
Well, what we're doing about it is first we're trying to build the batteries not in China anymore, but in France, and we have some plants.
Is that
doable? Which have been announced. Yeah, of course it's doable, but the refining will still be in China. So if China, like on recently on the fertilizer, they decided to stop exports because they need the cobalt, they need the fertilizer for them, they will just stop export and we won't have any more cobalt for our batteries. So we will have the plant, but not the material for the battery. So, and it's, once again, transport, same story. that was said by the International Energy Agency. If the trend, if we continue on electrify the cars but not reduce the size, this will cancel off. Okay? If you look at the last 10 years, the positive impact of electric vehicle was 5 times less than the negative impact of SUVs. As right. simple as this. So we don't, if we don't reduce the demand for transport, if you don't get rid of cars in cities where you don't need them and you can do bike, nothing's going to happen.
Roger Spouts, your thoughts, because we had last week the U.S. president announcing a big infrastructure bill where he said he would put electric battery charging stations throughout the United States. What was your reaction when you heard that?
I think clearly it's what they said before. What we need is efficiency and reduction of the energy use. And I think either the European and other countries, we have lost many years because nothing was done to invest in these sectors. And so we are now really, really, really late. That's a bit the problem.
We're late, but we're catching up, aren't we? I mean, when we see Europe's biggest car maker, Volkswagen, going all in on electric vehicles, when we see how there are more and more cars on the roads here in France that are electrically powered, it is moving fast.
That's true. It's moving fast, but the question again is if we, as was said before, do we need SUVs in cities? Do we need big cars to drive from point A to point B? And I think that's a question we need also an change of mind. How we gonna live? How gonna we gonna use our transport? And how we gonna use the energy?
All right. It's not just Joe Biden, by the way, who's building charging stations. This week, the Prime Minister of coal exporting Australia, committing to building 50,000 of them for electric cars. However, Scott Morrison insists there'll be no state meddling to accelerate the push away from the good old combustion engine.
We're not going to tell them what to buy. We're not going to tell them where to drive or where they can't drive. We're not going to tell them how to live their lives and interfere in the way of life that they have. We're not going to put their petrol prices up to make them buy electric vehicles or do anything like that.
So just a brief word on that, Nicolas Mélenchon. Should there be state subsidies or a little nudge to get people to stop putting gasoline in their cars?
Well, there should be state subsidies to help people to buy a smaller car, because today the regulation in Europe encouraged the manufacturers to build large SUV cars. So this is what we try to do. Eventually, you know, the price of oil today is about 2 liters, 2 euro per liter. I think it's high enough to let people start to use it. And remember that 2 years ago, we had a Gilets Jaunes crisis.
Yellow vest movement. Which was sparked by a rise in diesel prices.
It wasn't about
prices.
Nuclear, it was not about renewable, it was about oil. Mm. And we need to talk about oil, because the day the price increase or we have less quantities, we have a problem.
It's always about managing for the future, Jean-Pierre Pervez, and how you make it a soft landing when you do transition. Mm. It's not easy.
It's not easy, especially when you see this problem. I must remember that in the 90s, 30 years ago, France was one of the leaders of production of rare earth. And it stopped completely for ecological reasons. And it was sent to China. So now, coming back to France, the grid people have emitted 6 new scenarios for France in the next 30 years. And it was quite a surprise, I think, for the government, because the result was quite different from what we have heard from some of our people here. The result is that if you look at the whole system, you don't speak of the cost of renewable or cost of nuclear. If you look at the system, you take the 3 systems with plenty of renewable, and you take 3 systems with some nuclear and renewable, the last 3 systems are much less expensive and give the same result. So it's quite the contrary to the feeling that renewable energy are cheaper today. It's not true. if you include all externalities. You cannot use this very diluted energy without huge greed. You cannot use this energy without huge capacity of storage. You cannot use them without capacity. You have to ask industry to stop working when there is no wind and no sun. So we have to look at that very globally. And globally, I think, I come back to my first declaration. We need a lot of energy, electricity, and we need a stable, manageable electricity. And we need the good mix of all that. And any dispute is completely stupid if you don't go to the goal, which is to reduce carbon.
Roger Spouts, we would all love to live in a world where it was 100% renewables, but we're not there yet. Do you agree with what you just heard from Jean-Pierre Pervez?
No, not completely, because I think it's as I said before, it's a question also in what we invest, what the money that we have, how we invest it in the next years, in the next 10 or 15 years, because what we need is to save the climate, we need a quick energy transition, and that will not be possible with energy sources which are expensive and which need 10, 15, 20 years to be built or to take off. And again, also the nuclear energy produces high level waste, which has to be stored during thousands of years, and you have continuous radioactive discharges in the rivers, in the seas, and in the air. So we don't have a solution worldwide how to handle that waste.
All right. There is the right transport in some instances for a greener future. It doesn't need to include nuclear or batteries. Not if you listen to Glaswegians arguing for better bike lanes in their city, a city that's currently host to COP26.
Bicycles are a very important form of transport, which apparently is not being discussed at COP. We can have as many electric cars as people want, but they'll still cause the congestion, the obesity, everything else. Whereas if people get out on the bikes, it's much better for them, much better for the environment.
Hey, we put those bike lanes in here in 2019 in Paris. How's it going, Nicolas Mélan?
Well, it's getting better, and I think something interesting is that we are at COP26 now. So, and finally, there is two ways to reduce our carbon consumption, CO2 consumption. It's the financial crisis, works very well, and the COVID crisis. And all those bike lanes, they come after the COVID crisis, and it helped people to move from car to bike and eventually reduce CO2 emissions. So we all wish that this COVID crisis is over. But we have to recognize that on the bike side, and if you, whether it's in Paris or many cities in the world, it really supported the bike, a bike push, and reduced CO2 emission.
A bike without a battery.
Without the battery, if you have all the showers and amenities at your work, this is feasible. But the thing is, if you do it with a battery, much more people can then do it.
That is a good point.
It's much better than a car with a battery.
All right, we're priming the conversation, priming the pump for a future conversation there, it seems. Nicolas Mélan, I want to thank you. I want to thank as well Jean-Pierre Pervez, Rana Adib for being with us from the COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow, Roger Spouts in Luxembourg. Thank you for being with us here in the France 24 debate.